The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Honey, the online shopping platform that helps consumers save time and money, is building a Boulder office and looking for software engineers to join the team. Find out more at joinhoney.com/careers. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have a unique startup and tech community here on the edge of the Rockies, and we want you to know about it. The Boulder Tech Podcast features conversations with leaders, thinkers, and influencers, sharing their views on what's happening in Boulder's rapidly evolving tech scene. These interviews were recorded during the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind, anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Episode number 18 of the Boulder Tech Podcast features Rich Grote, Managing Director at RealCo Long-Term Accelerator and a veteran of the Boulder startup scene. We chat about the effectiveness of the slow accelerator, Boulder's history as a boomtown, and how Boulder's Give First mentality is spreading to entrepreneurial communities everywhere. Tell me more about your accelerator.
The current one or the past one? Because there were two.
Let's start with the current one.
So the current one is really interesting. I've just started there the beginning of April. It's actually based in San Antonio, Texas, though I still live in Boulder, so you can do the math on that. But the differences with it is, so it's B2B SaaS. That's kind of our sweet spot for companies. But we have a difference in that it's a long-term accelerator, meaning that we believe, you know, I've run a program like this. I've been through Techstars myself, but I know that 13 to 16 weeks is definitely a sprint and building a company is definitely a marathon. And so the idea of RealCo is we want to help companies build real companies over a longer period of time, usually 12 to 15 months.
So it's a slower accelerator.
We're accelerating more smoothly, perhaps. We're not burning rubber.
Right.
In the form of burned out founders or, I mean, the reality is even in the program that I ran and we kept on extending it from 13 weeks until like 14 weeks and then 15 weeks. And I think the last one we did with the Travelport Labs accelerator for travel startups, the last one we did was 16 weeks because really we wanted to focus less on demo day and more on building real companies that have a shot at being able to really grow and become not startups anymore, to become real companies.
Why should a company or a startup or a new business, why should they entertain the idea of getting into an accelerator program?
If they think that it's going to give them an advantage. I mean, especially a program with as great of a pedigree as Techstars, you really do have an opportunity to have a whole bunch of unfair advantages. That's in the form of mentors that would otherwise be hard to be able to give you as much time and focused attention as that they can give you. It would be, you know, sometimes... And especially if you're doing a larger B2B or enterprise sort of solution, it could take 6 months to get the meeting that you're hoping to get. Whereas a really good accelerator, part of their job is to give you those unfair advantages, those very quick introductions, and to speed the whole process along and really try and compress a couple of years worth of learning and growth into a small amount of time. If you're a founder, you should do an accelerator if you think that it's, it's going to sound obvious, if it's worth it. Will giving up X percent of my company make my company at least that much more valuable at the end of the program?
Is there any sort of data on the success rate of companies that have been through accelerators versus companies who just did it on their own?
So there's all sorts of data that Techstars has done, I think, a really good job of doing. Also, the Global Accelerator Network, I don't have the URL, but so they have some really comprehensive data across, I think, 80 high-performing accelerators around the world. And that's they have stats that are U.S.-based and also stats that are more global in nature.
Okay. So you spend a lot of time in San Antonio. Is there much of a startup community there?
There is. I mean, there at one point was a pretty strong Techstars location in San Antonio. Actually, one of my former co-founders, Michael Sidorzeski, had gone through the program there. I think maybe even the first program there. And through a number of different things, it just ended up not working out quite well. And actually, RealCo was launched by folks who had been very involved in the Techstars program. And all of that is to say they have, like every community. They have challenges around building their ecosystems, and they have a bunch of advantages. Like, they have really big, gorgeous buildings that are higher than three stories, which Boulder doesn't really have a lot of. And so they have room to grow, and they also have had some founders who have done pretty well, have had exits through Rackspace and other things, where they want to give back to the community. It's important to them to really build an entrepreneurial ecosystem in a way that's kind of give first, along a lot of the Boulder model and other communities where they're trying to make it easier for founders to win.
That sounds a lot like the way people I've been speaking this week describe Boulder. Openness, yeah. Give first. Is that simply a result of Techstars having an office in San Antonio and bringing that give first ethic there? Is it something that's part of the community already? Is it human nature?
I'm not sure whether the egg made the chicken or the chicken made the egg. I know that Techstars wants to be in locations where they can have give first mentors and where people get it. And whether they're attracted to cities like that or cities like that are attracted to Techstars, at the end of the day, the goal is to make it, you know, make 1,000 flowers bloom or whatever. And really just everybody's got a city that has some advantages and some hard parts. I just like that I landed in San Antonio with a group of folks who understand the job ahead and understand the value of really making a good nurturing soil for entrepreneurs.
You said every city has its good things and its bad things. I'd say the good things about Boulder are pretty well documented.
Yeah, not hard to get people to want to move here.
No.
It's hard to get people to afford it.
Yes, that would probably be under the challenge column. Any other challenges facing the startup community here in Boulder?
I was just having a really good conversation with a gentleman, investor out of Minnesota today, and he referred to it as flyover country. It's like, okay, I'm from Minnesota and I recognize that, you know, the valuations on the coasts are higher for companies at the same stage that are as de-risked. I think just the fact that there is a larger pool of money that can go around is there. I think that, you know, there's some really good tech press that has grown up around a lot of the companies that have been on the coasts. And I also think that there's a lot of opportunity for second order effects, where people have already gotten helicopter money or saying, all right, well, now I want to try this VC or this angel thing. And I think we've just now started getting into some of the next round of second order effects here in Boulder. Rally Software is a good example where people have really given back and had an opportunity to get engaged in that way. I think SendGrid is another one that's doing stuff like that. And I know there's a fantastic team, Fair Harbor, that did an amazing job of selling their company. And I think they raised $110,000 total. And definitely it was sold for over $200 million. They're based out of Denver, and it's an amazing crew of people who are there. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens and if that's sort of like, those are muscles that they want to operate and use as well. But I think as we begin to have this culture, I think this, you know, this rising tide thing that we've got going on here could really be fantastic.
How do you think that gets balanced with, you know, all of the bouldery things that everyone talks about, trying to preserve the openness and the easiness of it all? Does that get changed, or does that?
So it's a little bit of history. The first time I lived in Boulder was in like 2000 or so. And we had a really interesting startup, and we'd already done a prototype. We did a bunch of stupid things. But we were in Boulder, and we had this really amazing thing. Basically, log onto a website. With your browser, you can build a really sophisticated website, which is a really early idea, and it was working. We were doing things. We had customers. And we were looking around for other entrepreneurs and investors and people who could be mentors, and we just weren't finding anybody. And the next time I came back around, I was in the right room at the right time to see Andrew Hyde and you know, Ari Newman and a bunch of folks from Techstars, Nicole Glaros, and getting involved. And it was very conscious to say, hey, so it seems like there are a lot of really good people here. And that's when Andrew decided to launch Startup Weekend. And that's when things like that did an enormous amount to get people to recognize each other and say, oh, that's what you've been doing in the coffee shop all this time. I'm doing that too. And that sort of community, it became very conscious in a way, like, let's make this a good place to start companies, because it's not hard to get people to move here. It's not hard to find a good place to exercise. There's 300 days of sunshine a year. It's a pretty long list of good things from a human capacity. You know, Boulder has had some struggles, I think, along those lines too, because their please don't change Boulder sort of idea. I get it. There are people who've been here for a very long time and they're seeing people with money coming in. They're seeing Google come in and having a lot of employees. And now the average price of a home is over $1 million, which is not what it was even when I first moved here, or even when I came back in like 2006 or something. There's a lot of really great things, but I think, you know, the keep Boulder natural and a little bit crunchy and whatever, it's still there. It's transforming. It's evolving. You know, you still don't see a whole lot of folks walking around with t-shirts with blazers on top of them. That's definitely more on the coasts.
Yeah, I see that. That's been sort of the thread through all these conversations, is this transformation from the sort of granola scene to the more tech scene. But it seems like there is some through line there.
Well, and I think that there's a time that Boulder's been good at this a couple times. There's a time around tape drives and sort of data storage. And there's a time around building connectivity a little bit. And there's been some stuff around medical a little bit. And there's been things, you know, a little bit farther out around oil, natural gas, geo sort of things. And so I don't think that this is just the newest version of it, where it's a lot of B2B SaaS sort of software stuff. So I think that this is just the latest version of Boulder figuring out what to do with all of its brain power. And natural foods also. I gotta give a shout out to my people there.
Yes, absolutely.
And Green Chef, another exit. Forgot about that one.
Are there any companies in your accelerator programs that you're particularly excited about and are ready to tell the world about?
Yeah, there are two that I kind of have a crush on. One's from last year. They're still in the program, World Long-Term Acceleration. They're called Dauber. And what I really like about them is how unsexy their vertical is. Basically, they help people who own lots of dump trucks use them more effectively. It's a dump truck software company. So basically, they take all the routing optimization and they make it so that they're sort of solving the traveling salesman problem for dump trucks. And at the end of the day, what that means is, you know, the person who's on site gets a little Uber-like or Lyft-like map saying, here's how far away your dump truck will be there, so be ready for them. And what that enables them to do is, instead of doing 6 loads a day, they do 8 loads a day. And they're doing amazing stuff. And I love that, like, how deeply technical the team is in that vertical. And so with RealCo, all we've had to do is like, well, let's show you how you really need to build a software company. And that's been really fun to work with them. And then on the total other side, the newest one into our program is one that is started by the guy who used to do the CTO of Zynga. So a little bit of a connection to Foundry Group there. And then he went off and did another startup after that. And then he sort of had this epiphany. He's like, well, you know, there's a sprint that I did as a CTO at one point where I realized our cloud spending had gotten out of hand. And they're spending $2.5 million a month on cloud hosting across different platforms. And, you know, he looked at tens of thousands of different options, and in about a month figured out how to shave $1 million or $1.5 million off that bill, which is just a ridiculous amount of savings for a month worth of work. You know, after his last startup that he was employee one on as CTO, he said, okay, that would have been really cool to go back to that. But imagine I had a tool that allowed me to automatically see what's the right system that I can get for the lowest amount of money. And how do I make that so that I know that on a weekly or monthly basis that I could be saving some money? So he created this startup called Cloud Admin. So it's cloudadmin.io. And they're regularly able to take people with big spending bills and cut about 40% off, which is ridiculous.
That's a lot of savings.
Yeah. But it's just a really smart founder who's making the transition from CTO to CEO. And it's really fun to be able to connect him with some people who have made that leap before and can give him some, you know, can basically keep him from walking off some cliffs. Love both of those companies. And then there are 5 other ones in there as well at various stages. But kind of the fun thing, since we accept companies 4 times a year, we get to see companies that are at different stages in that sort of development cycle.
Anything else you'd like to add to any of this?
What I love about the Boulder thing, honestly, and this is something that Andrew did with Startup Weekend, and on his own dime, flying around like 40 different cities, like once he realized that this was a thing and there's 1,000 people watching us do the first Startup Weekend, he just got on his plane on his own dime and said, cool, this is how we did it. This is what we do. Go for it. With Techstars now, you know, they're changing their mission to really, I can't say it exactly, but support entrepreneurs wherever they are, in whatever communities they are, and build entrepreneurial communities. That idea, those ideas are really spreading. And I know that they're ones that not just us in San Antonio look at. The guy I talked to in Minnesota has worked with the Target retail accelerator that Techstars has done. I've talked with lots and lots of people throughout the global accelerator network, and it's that same sort of thing. Like, this isn't competition. This is, how do we give the world things that it wants and needs? And how do we do that more efficiently and tap into the people who want to help be part of that change? And that's a really fun thing to be part of.
And is it crazy to think that that attitude is something that's unique to Boulder, or at least is rooted here and is spreading out through the worldwide tech community?
I think it's connected to where Boulder was before. And there's not a mistake that that's something that was a very conscious effort. I don't think that we're the only ones who are doing it. It might be, you know, the 99th monkey, like, hey, this is hard. And there's not, we don't have to have competition for limited resources. I think that there's a need to be able to make new things happen, innovation happen in a less frictionful, more efficient way. And I think that this is something, it's just really fun to see how this idea is spreading and the best practices for it are being spread around.
Excellent.
Cool.
Rich Grote, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm really, really happy to be part of this.
That was Rich Grote from RealCo Long-Term Accelerator. Learn more about RealCo at realco.com and follow Rich on Twitter at HeyRich. Episode 18 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week education track sponsor, Glue. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week Platinum sponsors Matter, Zayo, Google, and Boulder Engineering Studio. We're also presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for the recording gear. Our intro music is by EchoDeck, that's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@thevibrarian.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.